Welcome, once again, to Podcaster Bulletproof. Today's date, April 1st, 2020. Been away for a while. Seems like it's been forever. I was getting worried that I forgot how to speak into a microphone. A lot's changed. It was last year, the last time we did a podcast. A lot of things happened, a lot of, high intensity situations, and, you know, we're underwater now. The flood has come for us. The tidal waves are over our heads. What do we do? What are we doing? What did we do? I don't know. I'm stoked to be back. I love doing this kind of stuff. Right now we're in the middle of this coronavirus ordeal. The next podcast I was planning on doing was about something completely different, but we're going to kick it off in the new year with our coronavirus conversation. A lot of different theories out there, a lot of different truths, a lot of different sources, a lot of people saying this, a lot of people saying that. A lot of people making really good points, a lot of people saying a lot of dumb shit, at the same time making a good point about, you know, whatever. You could say some of the most far-fetched things, and in this world, I can't dismiss it. Therefore, I can't make my mind up what I think is actually going on here. I have some of my own theories that are just wild and outlandish, but at the same time, I would argue that they are still believable. And if it turned out to be true, you would believe it is the truth. So here we are, Podcaster Bulletproof. What do I think about all this coronavirus going around? Is it a hoax? Is it being overhyped? Is it actually the real deal? You know, total global meltdown. A lot of people act like they're freaking out, but it doesn't seem like they're taking the proper precautions if they really acted on what they believed. And isn't it a little strange that starting the year 2020, we go from, it is said, the best economy in United States history, as far as, you know, percentage-wise goes, to, within a few weeks, the worst economy in U.S. history. You can't make this stuff up. How come when we're in like a great recession or economic collapse, then a virus hits? It's ironic that the virus hits right at like the climax of our economy, right when we're about to, you know, leap into the next level of evolution. It seems like it's all ripped away from us. It almost seems like you could say that God is it's almost like something so powerful is doing this to balance the force, if you will. But it also adds to the conspiracy theories. Destroy the economy by any means necessary kind of thing. Is this the last ditch effort to ruin the president and the free world? Or is it just a natural phenomenon? Chances are both scenarios are likely true. I had a theory that, I got to think about it because they pop into my head all the time. People are saying that it's a man-made weapon, and the timing that it's happening is interesting. But my argument to that would be, maybe if it was a man-made weapon, why wouldn't it be unleashed over and over again, just constantly, all the time? It's also ironic that, unsurprisingly, that it's a flu-like symptoms happening at flu-like time of year. I heard an argument that every year millions of people die from the flu. This year, they just are reporting it and making a big deal about it. If we heard every year in the flu season all the cases and all the outbreak hot spots, we would be in a global pandemic 365 days a year. So it's interesting. Do I take it seriously, or do I just say it's all bullshit and keep trying to live my life? And right now I'm kind of a little bit of both. I keep flip-flopping back and forth. I'll see one article or video and I'll freak out in one direction, and then I'll see the opposing arguments and then I'll freak out in the other direction. I'm constantly being convinced and reconvinced of both arguments. Someone made a great point. Where's all the sick people? Do you know someone who has this virus? I don't. And I had to say to myself, I agree with that. I don't know anyone who has this. I don't know anyone who's died from it. I haven't seen any dead bodies in the streets. Where are all the bodies? Where's all the hearses? I haven't even seen any police officers in about a week and a half. I think I seen one cop doing a construction zone at an intersection. Interesting. I'm predicting, that at some point after we've been quarantined and stay at home orders and, the economy and the jobs and the people are gonna hold out for a while and try to do what they're being asked to do, suggested to do. You're going to see this just like every other big news topic that always happens. It's a big uproar. Everyone's freaking out. It's on every channel. It's on every conversation. And it doesn't just go away all of a sudden, but it does slowly just start to fizzle out. So you're going to slowly start to see more cars on the street, slowly start to see more people, slowly start to see more businesses opening back up, to the point a year from now, you're going to look back and go, whatever happened to the coronavirus thing? And most people are just going to kind of shrug their shoulders and go, I don't know. That is strange, isn't it? And everyone's standing around and everyone's just kind of like, yeah, what was that all about? I never got it. I will say one thing about last October. I've had a few fevers in my life. I've had a couple bad ones when I was probably in my teens, you know, related to like bronchitis, you know, typical flu season stuff. I've had a couple fevers in my life that were, you know, the kind of fevers that you don't forget about. But this last October, I had a strange thing happened to me. I started getting a fever. I think I had a mild sore throat. I was not sick. Maybe, you know, when the flu hits, you start to get a little bit of a sore throat and you start feeling a little bit body achy, you know. And that's what I was experiencing. It came on all of a sudden at about 5 p.m. in the evening. And this is a true story. And about, by about 9 o'clock, I said, I'm going to go to bed early. I'm not feeling too well. Big deal. By about 11 p.m. that night, or no, maybe a little earlier, by about 9 or 10, you know, I started getting your typical chills. I started freezing to death. I loaded myself up with a bunch of blankets. I was all nice and toasty. I remember, you know, sometimes when you get the chills and you get all nice and toasty in your blankets, it's almost like an enjoyable feeling. You love trying to stay that warm and snuggly. By about probably 11 p.m., I came down with the worst fever I've ever experienced in my life. And I had too many blankets on. Even though I was freezing, I had so many blankets on that it was adding to my temperature. And I was cooking myself. Which maybe is what killed the virus so quickly. So I had to strip some blankets off to cool myself down a little bit. Extreme fever. So in the middle of the night, probably about 1 a.m., I had to get up to go take a piss. So I get up, and I'm in nothing but my underwear now at this point. But, you know, usually when you're sick, you go, oh, I can go take a piss and get right back to my covers before I start really freezing to death because, yes, I still have the chills. So I take a leak, and as I'm walking back, and this is literally 10, 15 feet away, by the time I got halfway back to my bed, I was shaking so severely from shivering that I went down to one knee. I could not go on. I've never been that cold in my life. I was shivering so severely that my wife is the reason I think I lived. I would have died on the floor that night. That's how bad I was shaking. I was shaking so badly that my knees gave out. I could not go on. And I would have laid on the floor with no blankets in my underwear and froze to death or died. I don't know. But what was strange about this fever is by about 3 in the morning, I was completely over it. I woke up. I ate a bowl of cereal. I was up, you know, I wasn't cold. It was over. I went to sleep. I woke up the next morning. The birds were chirping. It was a bright, sunshiny day. So, and it's just strange to me. I've even made the joke almost that, you know, I've heard a lot of people joke about it. Oh, I've had a dry cough for 20 years. Oh, I've had those symptoms for 20 years, you know, they're just now, you know, it's just strange that, they're saying this started in China, but it's ironic that in early October, I had the worst fever I ever experienced in my life, that I could easily see how it would have killed an elderly person. I think I almost died that night. If I was alone, I wouldn't have made it. I couldn't go on. I've never been that cold. I've been freezing and real cold, not chills cold. I've experienced extreme cold, and you can go. You can keep moving until I would assume that at some point hypothermia kicks in and, you know, whatever happens. It's just an interesting little story I have that's a personal little story that I don't know if it's related to this or not, but it was a fast. Usually, if I catch the flu symptoms, I'm down for at least 5 days. And if I catch a fever, I'll have a fever one night and then it'll subside a little bit and it'll linger on and off maybe for 2 or 3 days. This was like a quick 3-hour fever from hell and then it was gone. And the only thing I can think of is that I cooked myself under my blankets with my fever and my body temperature was so extremely high that it just killed the virus. And so inadvertently, not knowing what I was doing, I did, you know, I probably had, hopefully I didn't damage myself. Because when you're that cold, you don't care if you're overheating with too many blankets. I didn't catch it. My wife figured it out. I had like 10 blankets on me. It was like boiling water, boiling chicken noodle soup on my chest. And I'll never forget it, you know. And so my heart goes out big time to people that are getting this fever, especially elderly people. You know, we've all had a fever that bad and the chills that bad. You get so sick that you're like, screw it, I'd rather die than go on like this 20 more minutes. I think anyone can relate to having bronchitis or the flu that bad. I don't think I've ever had pneumonia. I think I had a glimpse of it once in my teens. But usually, I think I've had bronchitis maybe twice, and usually it's just a flu. I can't remember the last time I had the flu where I was throwing up from it. That was, you know, usually the flu now when I'm older, it's just chills, body ache, sore throat, fever, maybe slight headache. Anyways, they're saying a lot of people are dying from this disease. Comparatively to the flu or other diseases out there, I don't know if it's a pandemic. Maybe it's a pandemic at the rate that it's happening. It's the way it's contagious and it's sweeping across the globe. You know, if a mild flu sweeps across the world in a 6-month period and kills the same number of people that a flu that comes along and kills that same amount of people in 2 weeks or a month, is there a difference there? There's definitely a difference in how it you know, one fish swims faster than the other. But it's just, so what? You know what I'm saying? One vaccine is better than the other or quicker than the other. A certain type of coffee has more caffeine, but it costs more to deliver it. So you just condense the cheaper one and make it strong that way. Is that, you know, so is this really a pandemic? Or is there political strategery going on? You know, what's funny is, When Bush said that word strategery and everyone made fun of him, I kind of like was like, you know, jokingly was like, what's wrong with that? You know, even though it's not a real word, even though some dumb redneck spit it out of his mouth, you know, I'm an artist. It's a word that's one of those words you make up on the spot and it makes sense. And I didn't even plan on using that. I didn't even know that was in my vocabulary, but you know, that's how my strategery works. I just, I make it up as I go sometimes. So, all this toilet paper talk, all this hoarding and this and that. We've been to the grocery store. The only thing that was missing was eggs, was gone. Water, we could only take 2 gallons at a time. And you know what? Imagine if we couldn't get food. Imagine if the trucking went down. Or, you know, if this doesn't stop at the rate of this decline, you know, whether we like it or not, we're going to the gulag, every single one of us. And people are, you know, people try to train and they doomsday prep and they hoard and they got stockpiles and they got basements and they got their getaway truck. You know, I don't think anyone's, no one's prepared for something like this. You could be prepared all, you know, I'm prepared in my spirit, in my soul. I'm prepared all day long. But no one will ever physically be prepared for what could, you know, truly happen to this country. So we just have to go on and make our best effort and try to do the right thing. But I truly believe that at some point after we get, people are going to start getting sick of the news articles on how you can keep you and your kids occupied while you're quarantined in your house. Here's a box of Crayola crayons. Have you ever heard of checkers? You know, people are going to, you know, at some point the guy that self-employed is going to go, screw it, I got work to do. I don't care if I die. I mean, it's already happening. You know, like 2 weeks into this and people are already like, screw it, I'm going out there. You know, some people are getting pulled over. Some people are getting arrested. Some people are getting warnings. I never seen so many people out there working out, riding bikes, spending family quality time. Like, what, you know, if they're trying to ruin the country, if this is some kind of diabolical plan, like, of course, the opposite always happens. The what they're trying to destroy is what they're reinforcing, which is, you know, which is how God works, you know? A lot of talk about people going to see these testing centers, empty tents, people going to emergency rooms, half the amount of people that used to be there, you know, half the amount of people are dialing 911 right now. Half the amount of people are getting in car accidents. You would think in the panic, there'd be more rear endings at intersections, more T-bone collisions, more all kinds of strange, chaotic things happening. It's even less, which means that people aren't actually panicked. They're waiting. They're watching. Because people who are asleep at the wheel, they're not watching. They're asleep. I think people are waking up in this world, and people who say they aren't awake or not don't believe in conspiracies, well, it's still in the back of their mind, and they're still watching to see if they're right or wrong, and which means they're awoken to the question. No one's actually awoken to the answer of the question. Being awoken is being awoken that there is a question. And that's a great, you know, add that to your list of ideas for, you know, strategery. I wasn't planning on doing a COVID-19 podcast. I don't know anything about it, except that, you know, it's like flu-like symptoms. It came from an animal or something. I thought everything came from animals. I thought, you know, according to Darwin, we came from the animals. And so, you know, like, what's this big old confusion all of a sudden? All these scientists are like baffled that the virus came from the bats or something. But they're the same people that teach in grade school that we came from salamanders. So, you know, I spit that venom right back at those bats. You know, in a world of bat viruses, I'm Batman. You know what I'm saying? What do I do now? What do we do? You know, am I freaking out being quarantined? No, I've been getting house projects done. Now, I would be suffering if I was quarantined into an apartment complex and I had to play Call of Duty for like 10 hours a day. You know, I'm good for like 2 or 3 rounds before I just say, you know what, this is all it's just crazy. It's just whack, dude. You know, how many episodes of, you know, The Office, how many, forget it, it's not even episodes anymore. How many seasons of The Office can I watch, you know? People are going to get restless. People are going to get creative. And then and people are already like, they're sharing like, oh, I'm doing this weekend. What are you doing this weekend? It's like, it doesn't even matter if we have our freedoms or not. It's like, people are still going to be posting up and like, you know, it's just crazy, dude. Instead of me taking photos of me racing my car, now I'm taking photos of me fixing my car, you know? And people are saying that the surge has yet to come. I'm in a place where the surge reportedly hasn't hit very hard. I'm in a very gigantic metropolitan area, which doesn't make sense to me. You know, it does not make sense to me at all that it would surge 800 miles from here in lockdown and curfews, and 2 weeks later, it's just barely, you know, we're in like a stay home order, but still, I don't, you know, on the news every day, they're talking about the virus. I haven't seen one report of how many people have checked in. I've heard reports of confirmed cases. It's interesting to me. You know, we hear this word pandemic, and we hear about Italy and all these people dying, and then they always say, because of underlying conditions, you know, well, or it's old age, or, you know, asthmatics or whatever. And I've known a lot of people with conditions, and out of their own mouths, they make jokes about it. They're ready, they're about to die as we speak. You know, that will kill me. This will kill me. If I do that, I'm dead. I can't do this, or I'm, you know, I'm a goner, or it becomes almost a mode of how to get attention, you know, in a sick way. It's not always true. In some ways it is, you know. You add a little bit of drugs into the mix, or a pill popper, and, you know, that's their, that's how they get their, you know, I'm not a psychologist, but you might want to talk to me before you see a psychologist. You know what I'm saying? But anyways, yeah, I haven't been focusing on this. I have no place to talk about this disease. I can give my opinion, and I was supposed to be on the phone call with someone that had probably a bunch of fire to spit about this. So maybe this is just a really long intro, and we'll finish it up with a phone call. What are you gonna do, you know? I thought it was funny that supposedly in Ecuador they blocked the runway and wouldn't let a Spanish jet land there. And I was like, why didn't you guys just tell the pilot on the air, don't fly this direction? Why wait and block the runway? Makes you wonder, if it was that serious, I would have, you know, I don't know. It seems like the pilot even coming close to that runway and maybe getting that low on fuel and letting it get to that point. I mean, don't pilots follow direct orders? What, you know, so no one gave them a direct order to turn around or land someone else. They just said, well, let's just go out and block the runway. I mean, is that how we're operating out here? That was mind-boggling to me. What the Spanish pilot said, screw you, we're landing. I've got, you know, And the governor said, no, you're not. Park all the trucks out there on the runway and don't let them land. You know, if I was that pilot, I would have crashed my landing gear right through all of that noise. You know, I would have landed that shit. But that's just one of those stories where it's like, is this the world we're living in? How is this even real? You know, if I was a pilot and someone said, they're not going to let you land in Ecuador and you got this much fuel, figure something out. We'll let you know where you can land. It's like, wait, they had to figure that out anyways after they made a pass at the runway and couldn't land. That's interesting to me. I mean, how disconnected are we? You know, it's like, I'm more afraid of getting on an airplane than I am of catching the coronavirus, even though I know the coronavirus, from what I hear, could kill me for underlying conditions. What are my underlying conditions? I don't know. Poor people don't know if they have underlying conditions. You know, if I have a backache or a chest pain, I just, I say my prayers and I keep going. You know what I'm saying? If I have a toothache or something, I had asthma as a child, severe asthma. When winter would hit, I'd be out playing basketball as a little kid, and I would be starved for oxygen so bad in the crisp night air that I would have to lay down on my back on the ground in the wet, cold grass and catch my breath. And my mom said, you know, some people outgrow it. Well, you know, I don't know if I outgrew it or not. I just, I think my brain just learned to live off low oxygen. You know? You know, star athletes are being taken out by this coronavirus. There's a theory that it's related to blood type. This and that. It's like, So we have all these, we have more doctors that we've ever had. We have more scientists than we've ever had. We have more YouTube ways of learning than we've ever had. And we're still at like Black Plague status. That's interesting to me. That's biblical. That's very, to me, that's, it proves that there is a God. Because science, all that science proves is that, well, we're going to have to look at the Black Plague to see how they figured it out. We're going to have to look at the Spanish flu to see how they got over this. It's like, wait a minute. They were like, during World War One. Are you serious? Like, they were flying biplanes. Like, more pilots crashed from malfunctions of airplanes, I think, than were like shot out of the sky. You know? Like, it's just insane. Like, we were, like, on sailboats and shit. So, I don't know. We've got all these micron this and micron that, and telescope this and telescope that, and all kinds of centrifugals this and centrifugals that, and we're still like, oh, well, it's a flu symptom, but we don't know, and this and that, and eat healthy, you know, eat healthy. It's interesting to me that it just proves that people don't know shit, man. Where's Tesla on this one? I haven't heard any news out of Tesla. You know, where's all these people that are changing the world in SpaceX? Where's Vaccine X at? You know? Real talk, though, man. I just freaking out, man. And then, you know, all the sports are shut down. Race cars, everything shut down. And what's weird is I'm not seeing many people bitch about it. I think I heard my mother say, well, I'm not going to be able to get hairspray or something or this and that. And I said to my brother, I said, thank God. It's almost healthy for us to be going through this. And it's ironic, you know, all these people that are for population control and assisted suicides. And I don't want to say it's like all these raging liberals and these Bill Gates types, you know, and these TED Talks about depopulation control. It's ironic that God, you know, the creator will control the population. And, you know, I think righteous people on this planet, I'm not afraid of it. I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid to get sick. You know, I'm not afraid I'm afraid of dying in vain or dying with sins on my conscience or dying with regret, you know. I'm afraid of dying and deserving to die. But I don't deserve to die unless it's, you know, an honorable, quick death. What do they call it? A Christian, a proper Christian, you know, please give me an honorable death so I don't suffer. That's all we can ask for, you know. And apparently this corona thing, it's killing people slowly and, you know, their folks are watching them through a window as their organs melt into butter, you know. It's very scary. But what's scarier is that most of us out here aren't scared. And you see people wearing face masks, and then they say, well, if you're sick, wear a face mask. It's like, bitch, if you're sick, what the hell are you doing out here? So I don't think they are sick. Like, if someone has the flu, like, when I get the flu bad, like, I don't care. I ain't going to the, first of all, I ain't going anywhere. And if you're with a fever walking around in Fry's Food and Drug Store, you're on drugs, yo. Now, you give me a fever, you give me coronavirus, and then give me a hit of meth or something, yeah, I'll probably show up to work with a fever. But, you know, you give me a fever and just normal circumstances, I'm not getting out of bed. Someone better be there to keep me alive. I'll freaking die in bed. I won't even get up, you know. I'll get up so I don't shit my pants. But there's been times where I couldn't even do that. So how are these people showing up to work with fevers and shit? Like, and then you see all the people that work in the grocery store, they're not even wearing face masks. Like, it's just interesting to me. It's almost like everyone, like, half the nation has been talked into becoming crisis actors. And they, it's, like, interesting to them. It's exciting. People need, it's like, we need Batman to hate so that we don't hate each other. Well, it's like, maybe people need this because they have nothing interesting in their life to talk about. They need something insane to be a part of, because is it a giant distraction? Well, there's theories into that. At the same time, supposedly some politicians being investigated right now, and they don't want people to be talking about that. Because for whatever, who cares, whatever reason, I believe that it's probably true, you know? Well, today, let me get started here. Today's April 10th. So this podcast is going to be finished 10 days after I started it. So what's funny is listening back to what I recorded 10 days ago, it's like I could have recorded that this morning and it is still relevant as far as being released the day it was created. You know what I'm saying? But here's another theory I have. They announced on the news that they are literally sailing half the Navy to the South Atlantic and I believe South Pacific to wage war on the South American, Central American drug cartels. We're talking air-to-ground missiles, submarines, A-10 Warthogs, F-22s. You know, the fleet, like spec ops, you know, you name it. And it's interesting how, like, where's the uprising against that? And the, you know, claim to racism against that. And it's like it came winning in one ear and out the other because everyone's still worried about public health. And it's funny how it's like, could we have done that to the extent it was announced when nothing crazy else was going on in the world? Or would there be an uprising calling racism a waste of funding? Trump snapped. He finally went off the deep end. And it's like, I had this crazy theory that like, it's like a reverse purge where the government is going out and getting rid of all the evil, crazy villains while we're quarantined, paying attention to something completely different every day. I've noticed less foot traffic up and down my alley. I've noticed less, you know, just, I don't know. It seems like the crime rate's gone down. You know, I don't know what's going on. There's no, it doesn't seem like there's zombie drug addicts walking the streets anymore. Interesting. And then here's another interesting little factoid. The number one show on Netflix worldwide right now is the show called Tiger King. I watched it. I didn't want to at first. I thought I would be annoyed, but we watched it because I just, you know, you start thinking about it after I saw the preview and I was like, that can't be real. I got into the show. We watched the whole damn thing. It's the most mind-boggling, life-changing, true story of how people are in human nature and the characters that are all true people. Maybe over this and over that here and there for entertainment value. But even if it was just a scotch of the truth, it's still too mind-boggling. I'll never be the same. It's the most popular thing during this corona outbreak. And what's the one animal that gets sick? In the whole entire world, the first animal reported to get it is a fucking tiger in the New York Zoo. Like, I just don't. It's like, that's almost where I call bullshit. I just almost stepped onto my team. I'm on the bullshit team, I think, as of that moment. You mean, so if, and people are like, well, animals can get it too, and this and that, and dogs and that. Oh yeah, show me where all the birds are dropping dead from the sky. Show me where all the bobcats are coming out of the forest and dying in the street. Show me where all the elk and deer are dying. You know, if one tiger in the zoo gets it and nothing else, no other animals get it, show me where they're all just dropping dead. You would think it would wipe out an entire species of some sort of animal that it would be more reactive to because of the type of animal it is. And the truth is, like, more animals show up on beaches and dead before this happened. Like a month ago, we were talking about dolphins beaching, like, by the thousands. But all of a sudden, this one tiger gets sick in a zoo, which was already drugged up, already sedated, and already sick as a dog. You know, it's like, part of me just thinks, you know, that's like a, I'm calling bullshit on this one. That's insanity. You know, I don't think it's a coincidence that the number one show called Tiger King is the most popular show in the world during this quarantine. And now the only animal reported to get sick on the news is a tiger. It's almost like a disrespectful mockery. It's like blatant. It's like insulting. Like, I don't think God would insult me that bad. You know, God might make me suffer and make me learn my lessons, but I don't think I would be, if I have guardian angels, I don't think God would allow me to be insulted that bad by the devil or by God. I just really don't, I don't think I believe that. And if you're not insulted, then that means you do deserve to be fooled. Kind of thing is where I'm standing on this one. So it's 10 days later after, you know, it's April 10th, and where's the uptick? Where's the pandemic? It seems like people, I've heard it's been getting a little bit grimmer at some grocery stores, but not really. I've been eating like a king, you know, so I don't know. But anyways, all I can say is... Only Jesus. Can save you now. Only Jesus. Can save you now. Jesus can save you now. Only 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 Jesus can save you now. Looks like you thought you could wait. Now it looks like you're a little too late. Only Jesus can save you now. Only Jesus can save you now. Don't you worry about what I believe. Don't expect forgiveness from me. Only Jesus can save you now. Jesus can save you now.
and the time is now. Only Jesus can save you now. You could try saving yourself, but only God knows how. Only Jesus can save you now. Only Jesus can save you now. Only Jesus can save you now. Only Jesus. Can save you now. Only Jesus. Save you now.